Page Kuf Lamed, four lines from the top. This is a very famous letter known as Iver Chayehu Chad, Iver Gamehu Chad. The Alter Rebbe asked the question, how could God be absolutely and completely unified with limitations? And at this point, he's been talking about Simson or Rishon in various opinions, the Arizal, Moshe Kordovero. But that's all before Seder Histalshus. That's before the creation process. So fourth line from the bottom of Hine. Hine yit reishis hayesh haniver tchilasa hen kalim de yud spheres de biya. The very beginning of what we refer to as creation, when you have a something, is with the ten spheres of the world, the worlds of creation, formation, and action. Etzilus, because the word Etzilus means emanated or next to. And there you have infinite expressions of godliness. Nothing exists as separate from Hashem. And only this is, you would use an apostrophe S to describe what's in the world of Etzilus. Hashem's kindness. Hashem's severity, Hashem's Rachmanis. So if it's Hashem's, so it's part of Hashem. It is Hashem.
Finitely.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's yeah, we talked about that last time.
Sure, yeah.
In Bria, so at that point, so it's Chachma of Bria. It's not Hashem's anymore because it recognizes itself as having a possibility of a Metzias. We said this last time, that in Bria there's Afsharius of Metzias. There's a possibility that something could exist in and of its own. Not that anything does, because you have their neshamais and higher angels that recognize their own entity, their own existence, but recognize how they exist through the godliness that's creating them.
Okay.
So there's only just an efshari, it's a possibility that you could say that this is a creation. Because they're all intents and purposes, they're still buttled, but they're not buttled to tachli, say like with the spheres of Etzilus, which are totally and completely united with Hashem, such that there is nothing separate there, and it's only just Hashem. And Bria says, so buttled in Metzius, it exists, it understands how it exists. And then in Yetzira, it's called Mechsel Mechsa, things have form, but they have no composition. And in Asiya, they take on form and composition and solidified in dimension. V'gam ha'aris nefesh ruach v'nivra'u b'v'chines ha'neshamad yitzirz l'biyah. And then what you have also then is you have that which we're talking about now with a neshama or a malach or a dimension. That's a keli. That's what the godliness is being contained. That's what the godliness is being, how the godliness is being conveyed. But there's what's being conveyed as far as godliness is concerned. A nefesh, a ruach, a neshama. The Arizal talks about, probably in a dozen places, when a person, when they're engaged with avodas Hashem. So it says, if a person, we talk about Rosh Hiviralo, a Benini, a Tzaddik. So the Rizal doesn't use that terminology. He uses the term Nefesh Ruach and Neshama. Not like the Alter Rebbe uses it. We define Nefesh Ruach and Neshama as Nefesh is what's in charge of your action, Ruach, your speech and emotion, and Neshama, your thought. The Arizal translates Nefesh Ruach and Neshama as Madregas of awareness of godliness. It says that, for example, if a person is doing mitzvahs and does mitzvahs every day of his life, so he has acquired a giloy hanefesh, the attribute of his soul, which is referred to as nefesh. That's what's in play over there. And if a person does it with a fear and a love, so then it's ruach. And if he does it with a proper kavana, then he acquires it. He acquires the madrega of neshama, is the way that the Arizal quotes it. Mm-hmm. Okay, so now what is it? What does he mean there? Let's put that into Hasidic terminology now, is that you have Chayas coming down through Seder Histalshus. And when a person makes a proper vessel a proper vehicle, a proper conveyor of a higher level of godliness, they're able to bring godliness down further. And that's why he says here, for example, that you have the Ars of Nefesh Renuach Nivra B'Kinis and Lashon Yisus D'Biyah, Shehu Elokus.
What does it mean further?
Down to his body. Down to your body, into the physical world.
Oh, okay.
So
okay.
Most of us,
okay.
Humblest.
So you have the 10 spheres of Bia, you have the 10 spheres of Bria, the 10 spheres of Yetzira, and the 10 spheres of Asiya. Mm-hmm. And what's their neshama? What's the Elokus enlivening them? They are the Lamed Kalim of Malchus of Atzilus. The 30... I hate using the word vessels. The 30 Kalim, the 30 vessels of Malchus of Atzilus. What does that mean, the 30 Kalim? Technically speaking, I mean, we know about 10. And we know that Malchus has 10 spheres. Okay, we call that before, we call that Binyan Malchus. That Chachma, Malchus of Chachma becomes Chachma of Malchus. And Malchus of Bina becomes Bina of Malchus. And you have all those 9 spheres, and they make up a composition, and together they form Malchus of Malchus, and that's called the Binyan of Malchus. And that's what's the focal point on Rosh Hashanah, when it says, Kedei l'tamlicheinu aleichem melech, accepting upon yourself Hashem as king, means this building of the spheres in Atzilus. But that's only 10. Every sphere has a Rosh Teich Seif, which translated a head, a middle, and an end. The purpose of the head is to relate to the previous level or levels. The Teich is what relates to itself, is what is it, and the Sof relates to what's below it. So each of those three levels of Reish, Teich, Seif have 10 spheres. And those 10 spheres in Malchus, every sphere has it. But we don't care in the other ones. It could very well be that if we're talking about a Binyan of Malchus, this is where it's going to get really like, okay, spare me the details. You have a Reish Teich Seif of Malchus, of Chachma, of Atzilus. So the Malchus of the Reish of Chachma becomes Chachma of the Reish of Malchus. The Malchus of the Teich of Chachma, the middle, becomes the Chachma of the Teich of Malchus. And the Malchus of the Seif, of the end of Chachma, becomes the Chachma of the Seif of Malchus. So you see, you still don't have this Binyan of Malchus, but it's getting more, you know, finer details. You know, it's like, it's still the same stuff, it's just like, now we know more about the stuff. So, the 10 spheres of the Reish of Malchus become the neshama of Bria, of the world of creation. Okay? The top 10 spheres of Atzilus, of Malchus of Atzilus, meaning the of the top, of the Rosh, they provide the highest to Bria.
Because they're at the highest level.
Yeah. Okay, even though the whole purpose of the Rosh is to relate to us above it, but the whole Malchus, what does Malchus do?
Give.
Malchus is two function, has double function. It relates to what's higher and it relates to what's lower. Right. So you're going to have, this is really going to get splitting hairs over here, you have Malchus, you have a Rosh Teich Seif of Malchus as it relates to the 9 spheres of Atzilus, and you have a Rosh Teich Seif of Malchus as it relates to the 3 worlds lower than it too. Okay, you could tie yourself into good knots and drive yourself no sugar.
Mm-hmm. It takes the highest level to get.
Yeah, it doesn't. When the Rizal starts doing this kind of stuff and like talking about like details, I just say okay, next. It's just I'm sorry, it doesn't turn me on.
I want the picture, but then the picture.
I'm not into GPS coordinates.
I am, but I guess the picture would be of Ozora. the pants putting a picture.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. So now, so the Teich, the 10 spheres of Teich, the 10 spheres of the middle, of meaning as Malchus relates to itself, become the Ruach of Yetzirah. Okay, see how we're doing this? The top 10 become the Neshama of Bria, the middle 10 become the Ruach of Yetzirah, and the bottom 10 become the Nefesh of Asiyah. I don't believe that there's a Nefesh Ruach and Neshama in Asiyah, but maybe if you want to say that there's a Rosh Teich Seif in the 10 spheres of Asiyah, okay, so that would be the Neshama, Ruach, and Nefesh, but it doesn't talk about that in any of the books. So I'm not going to either. But that's what he means when he says that when the Lamed Kalim become the vitality of the worlds of Bria, Yetzirah, and Asiyah, that's what it means.
Mm-hmm. Why think of those string puppets?
String puppets.
Because you got the strings, the connections between all the levels that go up to Asiyah.
That's another inaccurate picture.
Of course it's all there. In my mind, it clicks.
We'll use donuts, maybe you'll get closer. Right?
They'll get eaten up.
Sorry. The came Betzilus, the Chaseris, the came Betzilus, the Atzilus, Shehei Elikus, Nivra, Hei Chalus, the Atzilus. Now, in Atzilus, you also have stuff going on with the spheres in and of themselves. Because a sphere is comprised of many component parts, and the Chitzonius of the sphere, which not to the Chitzonius of the sphere, the external part of the sphere, which relates to the lower sphere, the sphere lower than it. That's called bottom. You have something in the Chitzonius of the Keli itself, which is the Heichel. The Heichel means, like a Heichel is a side chamber. It's where, I guess, superficial godliness goes to. You have the creation process, and you need a certain amount of energy to go from, say, Chachma to Bina. But there's a whole lot more energy that's not going to Bina that's still in Chachma. What happens to it? It gets all sent off to the side. Okay, and that forms then the Heichel. In the Heichel now, since it's a Chitzonius, it's only external expression. So there, that's how the forces of evil derive their life, through the Heichalos, for example, because it's a lower grade godliness. It happens to be also that the Heichalos are where you'll find the Malachim. Yes, where are Malachim? And they'll tell you, anybody, any kid who's learned Tanya will tell you Malachim are in Yetzirah. Where in Yetzirah? They're not in the sphere itself. The sphere, the purpose of the sphere is for conveying godliness down to Asiyah, from Bria to Asiyah. That's the purpose of the sphere. The Heichalos are where you find the Malachim and the Neshamas that are hanging out over there. The Gan Eden Ha'Elyon, the Gan Eden Ha'Tachton, and Bria and Yetzirah, etc., etc., etc. Okay, that's all out there. That's why it's possible that even in Chachma of Atzilus, which has a Heichel, at least one, that I've learned about, there's a klippa there. Now you're going to say, what kind of klippa could be in Atzilus, and especially in Chachma of Atzilus? All that we learned about in the years that we're doing this, about what Chachma of Atzilus is just a potential for what could be and is a total infinite expression of Hashem's infinity, and how's it possible? As soon as you have something, the term Chitzonius, and you have to make things relatable, there's going to be byproduct. There's going to be stuff that's not going to be related, and that's where the forces of evil derive their nurture. And indeed, if everything in this world comes from Chachma of Atzilus, Klippa has to also come from Chachma of Atzilus, doesn't it?
Sure.
Everything has to come from Chachma of Atzilus, Klippa has to come there too. Sure. So how does it come? Obviously, Hashem did not create the world for Klippa. So Klippa exists, like to use the example, behind the back. External expression, low-level godliness. So you have, it says in, it's discussed, that what is the Klippa that's found in Chachma Vitzilus? It's based on a pasuk in Chumash. We use it as used as the sanctity of a Chumash. That every letter in the Chumash is just as holy as every other letter. And if there be a letter missing in this place, it's the same as if the letter is missing in that place. Like, for example, you have a statement, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. If someone were to write a Sefer Torah and left out that verse, of course it would be possible, but this is like, go check this guy's lineage, see what his philosophy is. Why did he leave out Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad? Does he not believe Hashem Echad? There's a pasuk at the end of Vayera Chayisur. I never remember. Vayera. That Basul had a Pelegish, Ushma Ru'uma. And her name was Ru'uma. Okay, and she had a couple of kids. That's how the Parsha ends. As Kapach, you know, names we never hear of. Yes, Tachash, whatever, I don't know the names. I don't remember these psukim. Why? Because who cares what the names of the kids of Basul's concubine were? Okay? So, if that pasuk wasn't there, of course the Sefer Torah would be puzzle. What's Ru'uma? Ru'uma, if you break it down, it's Ru'uma. Let's see what this is going to be. That's the name of the klippa that's found in Chachma Hutzilus. Chachma is the potential of what will be. The klippa is, oh yeah, let's see what's going to be.
Right.
Let's see what's going to be, especially Chachma. Chachma is Riyah. Chachma is seeing. It's like right direct. Okay? So this Pelegish, what's a Pelegish? A Pelegish is a hanger on her. She's not a full-fledged wife. She realizes that better to be a Pelegish than to be a nothing. So that's what Ru'uma is. That's what the klippa in Etzilus is. It's a hanger on her. But from Ru'uma, through going through the Heichalus and all the Chayas, it's coming down in this secondary, tertiary, whatever that comes after tertiary way through these Heichalus. You come down here and you get a chazer. Where did it start? Of course, everything has to come from Atzilus. Okay, so that's the significance of the Heichalos. The Malchus is Atzilus. The Kain Atzilus. Chatzani Sekiyam Atzilus. Atzilus Shehen Alakus Nivrei Heichalos Atzilus. Shemislavish Behem Bechinus HaIgulin the Yitzfirois. That is enclosed in them, the igulim of the ten spheres. Igulim is another one of those words that if you translate it, just sounds silly. Igulim means circles or spheres, rounds. Okay, there are two systems that are going on. You understand why Simon Chav takes so long to teach.
Mm.
Okay, every word we got to explain.
Right.
Okay, the... there are two Sidrei Histalshalus going on simultaneously. There's a Sidrei Histalshalus that we normally talk about.
Mm-hmm.
You have Chochma Vitzilus and Bina Vitzilus, mm-hmm. and that begets Dasa Vitzilus, which creates Zah Vitzilus, which makes the Malchus. And there's all this whole, you know, the whole tree, we draw a nice picture of it. Then you have the Ratzin for all of those spheres. There's a desire for Chochma, and a desire for Bina, and a desire for Das, and a desire for the Midas, and a desire for Malchus. The desire is called an eagle, meaning a circular, because desire only affects I'm not going to say superficial, that's the wrong word, but in an encompassing way. Meaning the godliness is not coming directly into it, but the godliness is supporting it. And you'll never see a chart of Igulim. Why? Because if you did, what would it be? It would be concentric circles just getting smaller and smaller. And it would be pointless, because it would never get to the point, because it just kept getting smaller and smaller. But, that's a joke. But the... it's all expression of Ratzin. There's a desire. Okay? The desire is for a magnanimous thing. Let's call it Lasis lo yisbarach dir betachtein. Okay, why did Hashem create the world? So it says back in chapter 41 that Hashem wants, no, in chapter 33, that Hashem wants there to be a dir b'tachtonim, he wants a physical world. And Jews in studying Torah, okay, so right there you've got three things going on. Hashem has to want to have a physical world, a Torah, and Jews studying. So you got three things going on. That means there's a specific desire for a physical world, the Torah, and Jews. Each one of those is a specific desire. Okay? But they're not separate, disjoint desires. They, all three together, are what is, those are details of the desire. And you'll take it even further. You'll take it down another rung. He wants a dir b'tachtonim. So you have to make a tachtonim. What's a tachtonim? A physical world with everything in it. That means every microorganism in the creation has a specific eagle, a specific eagle, not eagle, eagle are big birds that fly, an eagle that is the desire that that thing exists. Is it something in addition to the original will? No, that's just more of a specific detail of the will of Lasa Silius Barak, Dir B'Tachtainim. What's Tachtainim? Well, Tachtainim has all these microorganisms in it. And each Hashem, there's nothing in the world that Hashem doesn't want. Everything in the world Hashem wants. And the smaller the detail, the smaller the desire for it.
You mean, you don't mean quantitatively, do you?
No.
You think you mean...
You mean
level of detail?
It's a level of desire. Not even, you can't even say a level of desire.
Level doesn't work either.
No, it's not even a level of desire. It's a detail of the desire.
A smaller detail
of the desire.
Right. Okay.
Okay. You know the example I give with me chiseling out a brick.
It's a more minute detail.
Yes. The example I give of chiseling a brick from your house.
Right.
You know that one, right?
Yeah,
no.
Yeah.
Okay. One second. So I come to your house. Okay, you live in a house that's made out of brick?
It's got brick.
Brick, okay? So I live in a brick house. Okay, our bricks are pretty much the same color. And I got a cracked brick in my house. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to knock on your door. And I'm going to say, Michael, I have this stone chisel over here. I just want to chip out the mortar from one brick in the back of the house by the bushes that's covered over. You wouldn't see it anyway. And I'm just going to take that one brick, but I need it. You going to let me take that one brick out of your house? Don't think too hard.
Pretty much no.
No, not pretty much no.
No,
absolutely not.
The house, but something's getting in.
Why don't you want me to take that brick out of your house? Because you do not want a brick missing. You do not want a house missing a brick.
Right.
You have never thought about that brick ever in your life.
You never want
that brick is not even a detail of what you would think about in your house. But if it was missing, this would not that it's you're missing a brick. You're missing the house that you want.
You're missing the hole.
Your rutzon is not whole.
Actually, you've got a hole.
Stop it. Yeah, you've got a hole, yes. But your rutzon is not whole.
Go back to donuts.
Yes, we'll go back to donuts.
Yes.
So you see that there is something called histalshelus ha'igulim.
Right.
The histalshelus ha'igulim means that there's a direct relationship with each of the details of the desire. The big thing is the desire in each one of those things. But what's being nistalshul? It's not changing anything. It's not like chachma becomes bina and it's a whole different metzias. Chachma does one thing, bina does another thing. Here, it's the desire maintains its integrity all the way through. Because what do you want? You want a house.
Right.
And all these different are all specific details of it.
Right.
So, like the physical world is bugging me. Why is there a galaxy 10 billion miles away with a billion stars? Because they're part of the
grand plan.
World.
Yes,
like the brick.
Correct.
On the house that helps me.
Can't you also say this not just applies to material substance, but also actions? Thoughts, everything.
You mean everything that happens in the physical world.
Everything.
Sure, because it's all part of the b'tachtonim.
Exactly. So it goes down,
yes.
to your thought. Your very thoughts.
Okay, fine.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
The gam gufus hamalachim that tzila shehem in his yesh, from what he tells him, uba malach of yasim techila. And you say it's also the same thing now. How is it that the bodies of the angels that are in Atzilus come about, as he says, in his messengers, he puts it first. So you ask, we've been talking about before, I mentioned a zillion times, that Malachim are in Yetzira, and the archangels are in Bria. Who says most of us? Malachim of Atzilus. So he did happen to mention something like this in a note in chapter 40. Okay? Moshe, Yeshaya, and Yechezkel saw the same thing. Yechezkel saw it as a NASCAR aficionado. Did you see the wheels on that thing? He saw it as a chariot, a vehicle flying through the skies with the animals, with the whole business. And he really got excited about the spinners on that wagon. You see those funim over there? Man, and they were sparking. Yeshaya saw this whole royal scene. A king, a throne, ministers with wings and feet and singing, the whole business, a whole pageant he saw. Moshe saw a yud, a vav, and two hays. It was the same thing.
Yeah.
What's the diff? Moshe saw it in Atzilus.
Yeah, clarity.
Yeshaya saw it in Bria, and Yechezkel saw it in Yetzirah. So it'd be the same thing again. If you have Klippa here, you have to have Klippa in Atzilus. If you're going to have Malachim, Malachim mean messengers. Malachim are conduits for godliness. So if you got them in the world of Yetzirah, I can't say they're down here because I haven't seen any Malachim walking around over here lately. Doesn't mean that they are.
I was going to say, what's our scene got to do with it?
Yeah, exactly. But it doesn't mean, you know. So there are Malachim, there are these messengers, these switches. In the world of Atzilus also, they're called Matat, Samael, these things, you know, these primary angels that are higher than the archangels even. Yeah. The Angelukin is Bittel Lagamre. These Malachim that find themselves in the world of Atzilus, because they're in the Heichalus, they're an external expression of godliness, they're not totally nullified like an Olah Lagavi Ilusa, like an effect in relationship to its cause. That Bina understands it can only exist because of Chachma. Whereas these entities, this Matat, Samael, whatever else is living up there, I haven't exactly got a telephone directory for the Heichalus of Atzilus. I'm not exactly sure who's living up there. So, Neshamais HaMalachim Sheyatzim Mezivag Neshikim. But the souls of the angels, as they are in the lower worlds, but the souls of the lower world, the Neshamas, the Malachim, excuse me, of the lower worlds are an expression of Zivug HaNeshikim. Again, this is a Kabbalah term, which when you translate it into English, sounds like Madonna, which translated is the mating through kissing. Sounds really bad when you translate it into English. But what is it? It's an external unity between Zah, the masculine aspect of Hashem, and Malchus, which is the feminine aspect of Hashem. Mm. And it's called Zivug Neshikin because it's only just a very superficial connection between the two, like a kiss, for a way of example. The King Nishmas Adam Shiyatsim is Zivug Dezun Tzilus. And also the souls of people, that since the world was created for people, so there's a primary desire for people to be there. So therefore, the system by which neshamas come into existence is called in the Kabbalah Zivug Zun, which is translated the pairing of mother and father, of masculine and feminine, which is a deeper, stronger connection, and therefore create something more powerful than an angel, a neshama. It's enough for those people who can get it, what I'm saying. A kaidem shir leida ba'ein lebiyah einin bechlal yesh v'davar nifer b'fnei atzma. Now, as things are in their source, things do not have an entity in and of themselves. There's a very interesting line, one line, which is very easy. If it's one line in a mimer, it's very easy to just gloss over it. In the Atta Tetzava mimer, which is learned on the Rebbe's yard site, the Rebbe there talks about Etzem Neshama and Giloy Neshama, Kaychas Neshama. There's one paragraph, I think. It's Dalit, I think it is. So the Rebbe says that, of course, there's a difference between the Kaychas as they are Megala and the Etzem Neshama and the Mesiris Nefesh, which is conveyed by the essence of the soul. It's going to be a different type of Mesiris Nefesh than the Mesiris Nefesh, which is an expression of the soul powers. Soul powers is going to be based on information, input, and fact. And the essence of the Neshama is going to be based on the essence of the soul. Okay? Then the Rebbe says one line. But in their source, the Etzem and the Keiches, the Atzmiim, the essential Keiches, exist as one thing. Okay? In the source from where essence comes, it's the same source where the Keiach of the Gila comes. Okay? Which is a very... What's the big Kiddush? Etzem, by definition, means it's only for itself. Keiach or Giloy means it only exists for something outside of itself. In its source, Etzem and Giloy are one primordial existence. It's not, you could look at it and say, well, this is going to grow up and be a Giloy, and this is going to grow up and be an Etzem. At that point, it's all just one Dover Pashut, one simple entity. And it's all coming from one level, you might say. Even more refined than, say, like, we give the example of a zygote. Mm-hmm. But a zygote has 23 pairs of chromosomes.
Yes, yeah, has division in it already.
And when the scientists will know how to read them, they'll be able to look at a zygote, and they'll say, oh, with all the gene, the 3 billion genes that are in this zygote, going to have brown hair and blue eyes, an IQ of 120, be pretty quick on his feet, you know, be a him. I think until right now in the 23, you know, etc., have a propensity towards math and science. So there's division there. It's not a simple entity. There's no right. Real good example of a Dover Pashut and Gashmius.
Yeah.
You could say the sun ray before it's emitted from the sun, because you have the essence of the sun and you have the revelation of the sun.
Right.
But that's still all within the sun.
Right.
It's sort of like, it is a hard one to say, but from where the sun came from, the sun and its ray is all one entity. It's not two things. Elohim ein bechinas elokus bitzimsum atzum ukein hakelim de yisiras datzilus. Is that where I'm up to? They're not something separate when they're sourced, but they're similar to godliness in a contraction, similar to the 10 spheres of Atzilus. Shehem is Gvul, which are the 10 spheres of Atzilus are limited. Ali de Timsum Arinsek Baruchu, through the contraction of the infiniteness of Hashem, who Akava Malubish Minaran Shehem, which this is a measured amount of godliness, which is enclosed in the nefesh, nefesh ruach and neshama of them. As the same way on a magnanimous scale, how once when Hashem did what was referred to as tzimtzum harishon, the first tzimtzum according to the Arizal, created something called igul hagadol. I don't remember if igul hagadol is talked about in the Moshe in the Pardes from the Ramak. I didn't learn it by Baal Peh. But you have the result of the Tzimtzum HaRishon is Igul HaGadol. Igul HaGadol is the Makom Panah, it's referred to in the Kisei HaRizal, the place void of the revelation of Hashem. It is the power of limitation of Hashem. And into that is injected a finite amount of godliness, meaning a finite amount of infiniteness. That's the Kav. So the Kav and the Eagle, Igul, unite. And that starts the beginning of the creation process. That's called Adam Kadmon, the primordial man. That's your zygote for Seder Istalshelus, for the creation process. And the godliness is, it's injected in there, so it's not part of Ein Sof anymore. It's already been emitted by Ein Sof. Okay, we're going to have to stop here. We're at the parenthesis on page Kuf Lamed. And in the middle of the page, the first word of the line starts, Tzimtzum HaRishon Lios Cholol, to be continued.